This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
So, today we are looking at the story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Jesus comes into Jerusalem to fulfill all the promises of the Old Testament that have pointed to this moment. But as he comes, and as we look at this passage that Xavi has so greatly read for us, there are three things that stood out to me that are a bit weird. And we're going to look at these three weird things in the story. The first weird thing is this. Jesus comes to the city of Jerusalem as a king, and yet what is he riding? He's riding a donkey. Kings don't ride donkeys. I don't think many people actually ride donkeys. Donkeys are awkward and stubborn and they're unyielding. They're not usually things that are ridden, definitely not by a king that's coming to be established as king in a city that is ruled by enemies. But Jesus comes as a king on a donkey. You know what I would expect? I would expect if a king was coming to a city, he wouldn't be on a donkey. He would be on a great big war horse. And behind him would be a vast army. Perhaps he would be parading all his enemies that he's defeated as he comes to the city. But that's not what Jesus does, because that's not who Jesus is. Jesus comes in humility on a donkey. And when I first read it, I thought that is strange. But then I thought, actually, if we've been reading Luke's gospel, if we've been reading the stories about Jesus, then is this really that strange? Isn't this what we've probably come to expect from Jesus? Jesus who says when he brings his kingdom, the first will be last and the last will be first. Jesus who said when his kingdom comes, it will mean the powerful, the proud, the rich, they will be brought low, but the weak, the humble and the hungry, they will be lifted up. Because Jesus says, although he comes as a king, the true mark of a king is a mark of service and love. So Jesus comes riding on a donkey. That's the first strange thing. The second strange thing is all the different responses the crowd have to Jesus. You'll notice it, and we actually said the words. Some of the crowd are really excited when they see Jesus coming. Do you know what they say? Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, is what they say. In some other gospel accounts, they do say, Hosanna. So well done to those that were in Matthew or Mark. But blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. They're quoting the Old Testament about Jesus. They get the image that Jesus is coming to fulfill the promises of God. And they're excited about Jesus coming. But then you see the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, I like to think, are standing there with their arms crossed, scathing, sneering. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, rebuke your disciples. Tell them off. Because they're quoting the Old Testament about you. Don't you know that that passage is about God's chosen king? Not about you. They shouldn't be saying that about you. So they don't see who Jesus is. They don't see what he has come to do. And I've often thought, I wonder how the Romans would respond to this moment. Imagine you're a Roman army general, you're sitting in Jerusalem, and you hear the crowd suddenly singing that there's a king that's coming to the city, and you're there going, hang on a minute. We already have a king. We already have a ruler. We already have an emperor. And he lives in Rome, crowned in glory and splendor. Who is this vagabond preacher that comes and claims to be a king? I wonder if they were afraid as they heard the crowds yelling, wondering maybe there's going to be an uprising. Maybe there's going to be a rebellion. And then as they looked out the window and saw this man riding alone, without an army, on a donkey, if they laughed and thought, he can easily be put aside. We can deal with him pretty easily. But there's a lot of different responses to Jesus. And I think this means something for us today, Because it means that no matter who you are, if you are someone that chooses to hail Jesus Christ as Lord and King of your life, then know this. You will face opposition and you will face resistance. Because when you declare that Jesus Christ is King, that is an act of rebellion against the powers of our world. Expect resistance. Maybe from your friends, maybe from your family, maybe from your colleagues, maybe from your teachers. The world doesn't like it when we claim Jesus as King. But that's what we do in the church, week in, week out. The third thing that I think is a little strange is this. When Jesus comes into the city on his donkey, does anyone know what he's doing? He's weeping. Did you notice that? As Jesus enters into the city of Jerusalem, he's weeping. Tears coming down his face. And whilst all the crowds are cheering, all the crowds are celebrating this joyous moment, Jesus comes weeping. So why does Jesus weep as he approaches Jerusalem? Well, the first reason is because he knows what is going to await him in the city. He knows what's going to happen to him. He knows that the crowds that right now are singing praises to God in his name will in a week's time turn against him, and instead of crying, "Blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord," they will instead cry, "Crucify him, murder him, kill him." And he knows that his disciples, who have followed him pretty faithfully up until this point, he knows that in a week's time, even they will turn away. They will desert him, abandon him, deny him. One of them will even betray him, will sell him for 30 pieces of silver. But Jesus isn't just weeping for himself. He's weeping for this city that he loves, a people that he loves. Because Jesus wants nothing more than his people to know peace and to know the love of God. Jesus wants nothing more than for you to know the peace of God, the presence of God, and the love of God. But he knows as he rides into this city that he comes not to be accepted, but to be rejected. He comes to bring peace. But the tragedy is his own people will not even recognize him, and they will forego the peace that he offers. They're the three things that I think are a little weird, but as we end, I want to leave us with a little bit of a challenge. And it's Jesus' response in verse 40. It should be on your service sheet there. Verse 40. This is one of the best lines of Jesus. This is brilliant. The Pharisees say, "Jesus, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus says, "If they remain quiet, the stones will cry out." Isn't that wonderful? The stones will cry out. What is he saying there? Jesus is saying that, don't you know, when you read the Old Testament, there are all these promises that one day God's kingdom is going to come, and that day is going to be such a day of celebration, such a day of joy, that even the trees in the field will clap their hands and the mountains will bow down. All of creation will erupt in songs of praise and joy because God's kingdom has come and good news is proclaimed to the whole world. His kingdom of truth, justice, peace, righteousness and goodness is here. Even the lifeless stones will know it. And what the stones know, the Pharisees failed to see. And so my challenge for you is, will you, like the crowds who sing Jesus' praises, will you join in with the song of all creation, hailing Jesus Christ as Lord and King of your life today, tomorrow, and the next day, even when it is difficult? Will you welcome him into your hearts with joy, and even as he makes his way to the cross, and even as he bids you follow him there, will you continue to join with the stones, the trees, the sun and the moon, hailing Jesus Christ as Lord and King forever. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.